Today, I want to talk about acting like a child. Now, you're saying to yourself, I got that one down pat. Because when we say that, acting like a child, what we think about, what? We think about just that immature selfishness, that being prone to tantrums and wanting to get your own way. That's how, when we talk about acting like a child, that's what we think of. But I want to maybe kind of flip that thought on its head, not because we know children who don't do those things. We know children who do all those things. But because I want to talk about what it means for us to act like a child of God. Because the Bible tells us that's exactly who we are. Now, before we talk about acting like a child, I want to just kind of bring us back together. Over this past month, we've talked about being more aware in the way that we live our life, more aware of some things that maybe are going on around us so that we can live life with our eyes open. And once we have our eyes open and once we're aware of these things, once we're woke to the realities around us, it should change the way that we are affected by life and how we can then begin to affect life as well. We talked about being woke to God's presence for us and how that can begin to raise up a new sense of confidence and purpose in who we are. Because once we know that God is with us, then some of those other things, that sense of being overwhelmed, those feelings of being isolated, maybe that sense of fearfulness or impending doom that often kind of creeps into us begins to dissipate when we recognize that He is with us and He's promised to be with us always. You know, we've talked about being woke to His goodness because sometimes it's easy for us to see the things that go wrong in life, that we always notice the things that are out of place and the challenges that we face, and often we don't recognize God's goodness even in the midst of those things, and so we end up falling into being discouraged or beginning to find patterns of being negative, or out of that negativity coming a growing bitterness about life. Today, I want to talk about what it means for us to then act as children, to be awoke to the present, the reality that we are created for a purpose. And that purpose is going to be different for each and every one of us, but we're going to talk about some ways that we can begin to discover what that means for us. And maybe some of us live not in awareness of that purpose. We live in the awareness of all the stuff going around us, but we don't recognize how it is that God wants to use us in this world that we're put into. And so we'll talk about acting like a child. Okay, our scripture verse, at least our jumping off place today, is going to come out of the letter of 1 John. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. It talks about how great or how lavish the love is that God has lavished upon us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. This is going to begin to talk to us about who our identity is, okay? This is going to begin to give us a little bit of definition as to what we are to be about, because we see that even in this statement that we are called to be children of God. We're not called to be spectators. We're not called to be those who sit on the sideline waiting for someone else to step up. We are called to be God's children. And it's more than just putting on a name tag. I found this name tag and I thought, yeah, there you go. Carrie, I want your name tag next week to say, hello, my name is Child of God, because that is who you are. Okay, I see you don't have a name tag on today, so maybe you can still do it. Okay, he's going to go do it right now. Okay, yeah, you don't have to. Gosh, Carrie, I love Carrie. Yeah, don't we all? Don't we all? Because there is something that begins to happen, and I want to just start here to think about this, to begin to look at life, to begin to look at life through this lens, that as we are in this world, we need to see ourselves in this way. That for those who have come to Christ and those who have been accepted by faith what He has done for us, it tells us very clearly that we are now called to be the children of God, that we are called to be the children of God, and as children, we are to somehow represent God in this world. We are to have a family resemblance to the one who is our Heavenly Father. And so I want to talk about what does that mean for us to live a life of purpose in this fact through the lens of being children of God. How many of you have done one of these recently, all the DNA tests and Ancestry.com or 23andMe? Anyone do those? Yeah. Anyone finding some really cool stuff? We're waiting. You've done the test, but you haven't got the results yet. Okay, Joanna. Isn't that amazing? Wow. Anybody else? Bobby. Okay. Wow. Irish and Italian. That's an exciting mix. Woohoo! Yeah. Okay. But that's part of what this has kind of been a new revelation, isn't it? Is all the science is there for us, the technology is there for us, so we can discover things maybe that we wouldn't have known before, maybe make connections with people we wouldn't have had any other way of making connections with, because we begin to see that there are some things in us that say that we're family. And so what does it mean for us to be family when it comes to God's family? You know, if we think about ourselves being a child of God, it's going to do a couple things for us. One, it's going to establish our identity. And that's kind of what this 23andMe or Ancestry.com does. It gives us a sense of who we are, where we come from, the types of folk we come from, or maybe the places on earth that we gather. And we begin to see that we are a mix. Usually most of us are a mix of all kinds of different people, but it begins to shape a little bit of our understanding of who we are. Being a child of God helps establish our identity. It's not that we have to see ourselves for what we do. It doesn't mean that if we've made a mistake that we are somehow now discounted. Once we say that we are a child of God and begin to see ourselves through that lens, it begins to give us a sense of identity. No matter what the world may think of us, no matter what the world may say of us, the reality is that we are a child of God. Also, it begins to affirm our security. To see our world is not about us somehow living up to a standard, because we are already called the children of God. Notice in that verse we read, it says how great the love is that the Father has lavished on us. It's in past tense. It has already given this to us. We need to simply now begin to live out what it means for us to live in the security of knowing that we have a Heavenly Father, and that we can now begin to live our life to make a difference in this world, not based on whether we can or not, because we've already attained this position of being called children of God. And finally, it's going to help define our purpose. Now, there's a lot of things when it comes to purpose. What are we created for? What is it God would have of us? These are questions that are deep and hard questions, but we're going to start with some baby steps today to talk about what it means for us to begin to discover what it is God has created us for. We're going to begin with this. As children of God, what does it mean for us to now look a little to resemble the family of our origin? What does it mean for us to begin to fall into this pattern? And I want to start here with Jesus, who is also part of our family. And we're going to start here in Philippians 2. The letter of Philippians 2, Paul tells us this, that in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Notice this is not going to be a physical connection. This is going to be an attitude connection in this family connection of ours. As children of God, we ought to have the same mind as that of Jesus Christ. And so it is an attitude, who being the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Important part here is saying for us that though that is the way the world operates, that we want to attain things, you know, climb the ladder to a certain status for the purpose of using it for our own advantage. That is how the world operates. This is a kind of a subtle critique of how the world is. And he says, but in God's family, in God's kingdom, it is different. We don't climb in order to have someone else come to serve us. There is something here at work that he says that our role is going to be different than how the world models itself. Rather, he made himself, speaking of Jesus, nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant. So your attitude should be like that of Christ Jesus. And what was that attitude? He took on the role of being a servant. Being made in human likeness, being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Now, Paul goes on to talk more about this, what it means for us to have this same attitude, to begin to see our life through this prism of what it means for us to live lives of that matter by the way that we give our lives away. And this is hard for us because all of us as human beings tend to see things through a self-centered point of view. It's just the way we are. And it says that now as children of God, we should have this family resemblance. And it should be a similar attitude to that of Christ Jesus. That what our goal should be is not to elevate our status, but somehow to become a servant, even as Christ did, taking on the very nature of a servant. You know, we saw this a little bit yesterday when we were out at the Love Atwater event. We saw it last weekend for those who were able to participate in the Love Your Neighbor event. People getting a chance to get out and to discover something of themselves. We're hoping that this weekend coming up with our youth, that the kids will even begin to see something of themselves, what happens to them when they begin to give a little bit of themselves away. And again, we can do that because of the security we have already being called children of God. In another letter, Paul wrote in similar idea. He also talked in Ephesians chapter 2, talking about how it is that we are saved by grace through faith, but not just for the purpose of being saved by grace through faith, but there's a bigger purpose here as well. We are saved by grace through faith, and we are now called God's handiwork, using a different illustration. Sometimes it refers to us as children of God, as family, but now he's talking about being God's craftsmanship, that we've been created, crafted, put together in such a way that we are called to be his handiwork. Now we've been created in Christ Jesus. Here it is, for a purpose, and do you see it? Anyone want to offer what it is? To get ahead, to make a lot of money. To become famous. No, what does it say? Do good works. And not just any good works, but the works which God has created in advance for you to do. There is something each and every one of us has been given. There are opportunities that each and every one of us have presented to us. There are things in our circle of influence where we can come and begin to make a difference that others cannot make that difference because it is simply given there to us, and then we have a choice. Will we step up to the plate and begin to do, or will we look for somebody else to do what God has created in advance for us to do? This is the Jesus pattern. This is what Jesus saw his work doing. This is what he invites us as his followers to also do, to not see this world in through the world's lenses, but also to see it primarily through the lens of serving and giving ourselves away. Jesus said it. He had to straighten his disciples out. They didn't get it. They thought it was about somehow getting highest seats in the kingdom and what have you, and he had to tell them no. In Mark 10, he says this, that the Son of Man, speaking of himself, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. You know, this becomes a theme that we see it all across the New Testament, this idea of somehow discovering who we are, not by gaining to ourselves, but by giving away ourselves. Again, with the security being called his children, we are able then free to begin to use the gifts he has given us and find opportunities to work in service to others. I had an interesting privilege about 3 months ago or so, teaching my class at Fresno Pacific University. There was a young woman who was taking one of the classes, just starting. It was the class on the Bible, the Biblical Perspectives class, the overview of the Bible. And I'm just privileged. Melanie's here with us this morning. She's taking another class from me, and part of the assignment, one of the assignments, is to go to a church that she doesn't already go to and check it out and say what's going on with this church. And so she happens to be here today. I'm so glad, because I'm going to tell a little story about a lady named Rose that you know, Melanie. Okay? So I'm going to walk this microphone over to you so you can help keep me straight. About 3 or 4 months ago, when you were just came in and we just met because you had just taken, you were just signed up for the class, the Bible class, you said that you had an opportunity, maybe a year or so ago, you became neighbors with a lady named Rose. Is that right?
We've been neighbors with okay. her for a while.
For a while.
Probably the last 5 years.
5 years. Yeah. Okay. And about 4 months ago or so, what happened in Rose? Tell me a little about Rose and what happened in her life about 4 months ago.
Rose's mom, who was 102, that she had taken care of, had just passed away. And like a week later, Rose was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And she's never been married, never had any kids, and she doesn't have any family around here. So my husband and I kind of always have watched out after her. And so she has our number, and one night she called. It was like midnight, and we didn't hear the phone ring. And then she called again like at 1:30, and she hadn't been feeling well. So she's like, could you guys just come over here? I'm not feeling well. And she was in a lot of pain. And so she was having a procedure on that next Monday in Stanford, and she didn't want to go to Merced because if she went to Merced, then it would post, maybe she wouldn't be able to have that procedure on Monday. So I said, okay, Rose, well, I'll just drive you over to Stanford. That way you're there and you could still have your procedure on Monday. And when we got there, mind you, it's like a 2-hour trip from where we live over there. She was in so much pain, like they had to get her out of my car and get her situated, and her appendix ruptured on top of her having pancreatic cancer, and they're not sure when it ruptured. It could have been a day, or we're not really sure, but she wound up being in the hospital for 3 weeks in ICU, and they said if I wouldn't have taken her, she probably would have died.
You know, there's just so much to unpack here.
Yeah.
Rose is not a spring chicken either. Her mom died when she was 102.
Yeah.
Rose is 81. She has always lived with her mom.
Uh-huh.
And so all of a sudden now she is on her own.
Yes.
What do you do with that? She has cancer. And if she doesn't call you at 1:30 in the morning and say, I've got pain.
Yeah.
You don't get out of bed, go to her, and take her to Stanford.
I took her at like 4 o'clock in the morning. We drove there and we got there around 6. And
you had no idea how desperate the situation was, because
no.
you're not a doctor. You didn't
no.
know that her appendix had ruptured and that she was probably going to die if you didn't take her.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you're there with her, and tell me a little bit just about what's gone on in these last couple of months now that she is back home and she went through the rehab and is back home.
She's back home and now she's on hospice. And they come in every couple week or twice a week, and then I check in on her daily as much as I can with school mm-hmm. and work. And they've been really great. The caretaker, she has 24-hour care and then hospice on top of that.
And one of the things, again, she's not eating as much. They want her eating
yeah.
mostly soup and stuff. I know about 2 weeks ago you said you came and she said, Rose told you that she was hungry, right?
She was hungry. The first day she wanted fish from Long John Silver's.
Okay, yeah.
So I went and picked her up a Long John, and she ate it all, and that was so great. And then a couple days later, she said that her taste buds were wanting a crunchy taco from Taco Bell.
Yeah, heck yeah, I understand that.
And then she's been having, like, she's been throwing up some blood and stuff. So hospice was there, and they scolded me
yeah.
for giving her that awful food.
Yes. Yeah, that's because everyone knows that's not what you should eat when you're
no.
about to go to heaven tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So, and yesterday I went and got her KFC, or not KFC, Long John Silver's again, but she couldn't eat it this
yeah.
time.
Yeah, but it sounded good.
Yeah,
and
she
so
thought
still
she
gift.
Thought that, well, I'll eat that again, because I knew I could eat that, and, you know, it satisfied my taste buds, but not yesterday.
Yeah, not yesterday. Okay, awesome. Well, you know what? About 2 weeks ago, when we heard this story, and we heard Melanie had gotten scolded for getting her a Taco Bell taco, I think the class erupted in cheers for you. And I want to say thank you. Not for breaking the rules, although I'm glad you did. What kind of a dumb rule is that? You're on hospice. I know I'm not a hospice nurse. Eat whatever the heck you want. What's the point? No, you might as well eat it now. And I've heard talk. I know this is going to break someone's heart. There's no Taco Bell in heaven. I know. I've heard tell. I don't know. I don't know. Carrie, I know it's breaking your heart too. I know. All right. No Taco Bell. Sorry. But as you hear the story, and I was going to tell the story, but I'm so glad you're here today, Melanie, to tell it, because it sounds so much better coming from you than what I would have been able to do. What's the key thing? What's the key thing, folks? Service. I mean, talk about, hey, at 1:30 in the morning, you get a call. How many of you want to go out? No, you don't. But you sometimes that's what is required of us. You don't want to take this person to the hospital at 4 a.m. because you got to drive to Stanford. But guess what? It's life and death. You don't know that. But you put yourself in that position because we say, I'm going to serve. I'm going to care about this individual around me, because this becomes the heart of service. Not looking at what it means to you, but how it is that we can serve somebody else. How it is that we, as followers of Christ, as receivers of God's love, can begin to share that love with others around us. And that service takes up all kinds of shapes and sizes. It may be going and picking up dinner at KFC or wherever. It may be about going and just spending time during the day because this person is now alone. They've never been alone all their life, and they need someone just to know that they still matter in this world. Maybe it means taking someone to a hospital or taking them to a doctor's appointment. There's all kinds of ways that we can find needs around us, and if we're willing to see with eyes of service, we will find ways that we can bless others. We've had all kinds of folk lately. I know it's been a beautiful thing to see our church respond with meals and such to those who are sick or those who are grieving. I've seen people do things that are just wonderful gifts of paying it forward, and I simply say all we got to do is begin to see with eyes that see the need, and then hearts that are willing to begin to put ourselves in that spot where we can serve in a way that blesses somebody else. You know, I hear the kids going to the D Street shelter this week, and what a great experience to go and experience with them. Jose, I hope you get some people coming along with you, because this is what a great thing to go and serve those who are needy in our community, but also to serve our youth and to role model for them what it means to serve. They're not getting that anywhere else. They're not getting it in the music they listen to. They're not getting it on the TV shows they watch. They're not getting it at school. Where are they going to find this if we don't find it being modeled in the body of Christ, that this becomes the path to our life making a difference? That somehow that God has put us here not so that we could sit on the sideline, but that we'd be involved in the game, that he has put us here not so that we would simply wait for someone else to do what God has created for us to do, but to see us begin to allow our gifts, our time, our love, our reflection of him being worked out in those around us. You know, there are all kinds of roles. If you don't see it in your neighborhood or your friends, you can find them here. There's all kinds of roles for us to begin to find service in. Going with the youth to the D Street shelter, signing up to be one of our Sunday school teachers so that our children, as they're growing up, get good instruction and get love from the body of the church. You know, it is, if you've got a knack for technology, talk to George, talk to Jeremy. We got roles to fill. If you've got a gift in music, talk to Harold, talk to Mary. Let's find out where we can begin to plug in these things to allow the gifts that God has given us to begin to be expressed within the body of Christ. And again, what keeps us from it is going to be two things. One is eyes that see through the lens of serving, and two is the availability of our time. Most of us say, I would do that, but I don't have the time. In fact, I will go out on a limb. All of us say that. But we have time, don't we? How many of you have less than 24 hours a day? No. Now, maybe most of it's spoken for. Maybe it's not easy to give up. Maybe we've already got it kind of charted out. But the reality is that we have the opportunity. And when we have the opportunity to bless somebody else, we need to take that opportunity. Maybe it's already something you're already doing. Maybe it's in your workplace. Maybe it's at school. Maybe it's somewhere where you can simply be a light for those around you. Maybe you can say, I'm going to care about my neighbor so much this week that I'm going to simply smile at them, wave at them, maybe even invite them. Why don't you come with me to church? Why don't you come with me to the Franklin Graham event coming up at the end of the month? Why don't you come with me to this concert we're having at our church out on the lawn? It's going to be awesome. Just a fun evening to be together. Come with me. You see, it's just taking that and saying, taking myself out of the center, saying I'm going to allow somebody else to be the center just for a while because I'm already secure in who God has made me. I am, who am I? Child of God. That's right. And because of that, I can begin to give and share that away. And as we do that, the question is going to be answered for us. This is going to be the question for us as a church as we move forward. As we begin to find our feet as being God's children, we're going to be going to create a different type of church. The question is, will we be a serve us church or will we be a service church? And that's going to be the question. I offer to you that what we are called to be is a service church that looks for ways to serve, not just serving one another, serving within our community, serving in the ways that we give ourselves away, because that's what Christ invites us to. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. We are invited to follow the Jesus pattern. We are invited to be children of God, because that is who we are. Worship team, come on up. I'm going to pray over us, and we're going to wrap up this morning, but it is good to begin to live in the reality of who God has made us. Father, I thank you for the opportunity today to be challenged again, to see beyond ourselves, not only to see beyond ourselves to your love flowing down to us, but to see beyond ourselves to the ability we might have to allow our life to flow out to make a difference in those around us. Father, continue to guide us as we move into this week. Guide us to the opportunities we would have to touch those who need your touch. In Jesus' name, amen.